Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Nick Friedell is an Odyssey NBA insider. Joins us every Tuesday at this time. Insider Calls brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure. Well, that was a Santa Fe last night in the NBA playoffs, wasn't it, Nick? I mean, that was an adventure of all types in both Knicks and 76ers and Nuggets Lakers. Which one surprised you more?
The Knicks being able to make all those plays late and hitting those shots as Crazy Tibbs is on the sidelines, losing his mind. That's the one that got me. I mean, the Nuggets guys are unbelievable. They're my pick to win again. It didn't surprise me that it was like a race where somebody just burned out running as fast as they could for the first three-fourths, and then you're just waiting for that stronger runner to pass him at the end. Murray hits that shot. But for me, it was the Knicks being able to find a way to win that game. And if you're an NBA fan, that's as good as it's going to get. And I was watching Inside the NBA like everybody else last night. I thought what Ernie and Charles said was right on. As far as doubleheaders go in back-to-back games, it just does not get better than what we saw. It was a great night for the league, and they've been in need of one of these for a while.
Did you think you know, Nick Nurse, we'll stick to that game. Did you, you know, the fact that he was calling for a timeout there, feel sorry for him at all? Do you think, or do you have to be more demonstrative than that if you want the timeout? What do you think of what he's saying?
If you are a coach and you want to get a timeout in at the end of a game, you basically have to stand in front of whoever the ref is to scream at him. Right. So if you really want a timeout, I mean, start going crazy. Lose your mind. I think in that sequence, it would have been tough to have that kind of recognition. And I know Philly fans are having a rough time today trying to figure out exactly what he was doing in the moment. But no, I don't have sympathy there. I mean, they just messed it up completely. And they're going to watch that on tape for days, thinking what might have been. But Philly had that game, and they just completely blew it. And then, guys, to see Embiid last night in those comments, we're the better team. We're going to – no. That's not going to happen. Why is it that every playoffs come around and Embiid at the end of games either isn't there or just looks completely gassed? I mean, we've seen it time and again. I know he had the injury this year. Last year, he played great, but in times at the end of these games, he's just not where he needs to be and not doing for the Sixers what they need from him. So, no, this is completely on the Sixers, and it would surprise me a lot if they came back in this series.
You know, nobody's talking about it because it's the appropriate NBA TV series. It may get moved to Lifetime. I don't know, in Game 3. But Magic Cavs, you kind of wondered what the Magic would look like in their first sort of playoff together, and is it just a matter of, Nick, they don't match up? In fact, they match up absolutely terribly with Cleveland, or is it that they don't have enough and they're going to have to really make some big changes in the offseason? How would you sort of assess how this series is going?
I think the big takeaway is what we all could have seen from a distance in the regular season, but it's become more pronounced, certainly in these first two playoff games for Orlando. They can't shoot from the outside, guys. And when you can't shoot consistently and you don't have guys that can knock down those threes, good luck to you. I mean, the Magic have a lot of really talented young players. And just like the Cavs last year, if you remember that series, and frankly, the only reason I do is because I was there covering it, The Cavs got eaten alive by the Knicks and the building, Madison Square Garden, the moment. The moment was just too big for them last year. So I think they learned from that experience, and I don't think this series is completely over because, like any team down 0-2, the Magic are going to come home and say, we got to have this game. But look at that roster. I mean, you're not getting long-range shooting from Banchero. Wagner still has to improve on that end. There just aren't guys within that rotation where you look to who can space the floor the way you need them to. I'd take it a step further and say there was so much talk, especially in the last couple months of the season, what happens with Klay Thompson? Does he stay with the Warriors? And there was a lot of smoke. All right, does he go to the Magic? They've got all this cap space. On paper, it would fit, but you know, is Klay the type of player who's going to fix what they need night to night? We'll see. But I think as far as that series goes, man, those two games were ugly. I thought you were going to say True TV because I thought that's where those two games belonged, at least after these first couple. But the Magic just looked like a really young team that does not have the personnel right now to think it can win a playoff series.
Home teams 11-0 through these playoffs so far. Which one of these road teams tonight do you have the most confidence in? Is it Suns? Is it Pacers at Milwaukee? Or is it a Mavs team that at one point was the favorite? But I think, Nick, since we've seen Kawhi now at shoot-around, they've now flipped to a slight underdog. Which of those three road teams you got the most confidence in terms of breaking through here on the road side?
The truth is none of them.
I hear you.
None of them. I mean, I certainly don't see it being the Pacers. I think that the Suns have a chance just because Kevin Durant could come out really frustrated and just smoke a young Timberwolves team that still is trying to find its way. I know a lot of people would point to Dallas and say, okay, Luka, Kyrie, we know how they played. I mean, the three of us have talked about it several times in the last month or so. Dallas just looked like a team that had found its rhythm. The problem is when you have the rhythm and then you show up in the first playoff game and just get smoked out of the building in the first half, well, it's a lot harder to pick up when you need it. So, I think Dallas makes the most sense, but I wouldn't bank on any of these three teams finding their way through tonight. I think that the favorites are playing at a higher level, and certainly if the Clippers can get Kawhi back healthy in this moment, at least at some point in the next week or so, I know a lot of people had Dallas and thought they could pull out this series. I just don't think that's going to happen if the Clippers can find their way and get their health in order.
We're talking to Nick Friedell, Odyssey NBA Insider. Insider Call is brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure with capable features like available H-Track, all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating. You know, I saw a little bit of, on Sunday, the Pacers are the latest team to learn that the regular season is different than the playoffs. And on one hand, you could say, well, they shot 20% from three, and they're not going to do that. Or you could say, well, you're also not going to shoot what you shot from three in the regular season. So what side did you sort of come down on as it relates to the Pacers in this game tonight?
As far as the Pacers go, I mean, they'd be hard-pressed to shoot that way again. You've got to think that some of the nerves going into that game and the ambiance that comes with playing in that big first postseason game as a group, that will be smoother in game two. But it's not just the paces, guys, and I know that's the focus of what we're getting at, but I think what the last few days have shown,
absolutely,
certainly over the weekend,
yep,
is that it's just a different, it's a completely different game, sport, however you want to describe it. Like it is, when you show up and the intensity of that game appears, I thought Bob Myers made a good point on the ESPN broadcast the other day. He said he was talking to Steph Curry, a few years back, and he said, what's the difference between the regular season and the postseason? And he's like, Steph said that the intensity of a postseason game is twice as much as any regular season game. And this is the problem, frankly, that the NBA faces moving forward, because if you're a diehard fan, you're always going to watch, but I think even diehard fans are very in tune to the fact that you just don't know if everybody's going 100% night to night. And then the playoffs start and the light switches and everybody goes, whoa, what the hell's going on? So I think that's a long way of saying the Pacers should be a little bit calmer coming into tonight, more at ease with the stage they're on. I just don't believe they have the pieces they're going to need in this Bucks series, and that's with or without Giannis for Milwaukee.
I'm with you on that. Nick, who'd you have for Coach of the Year? We got the finalists over the weekend, Finch, Dagnall with the Thunder, and then Jamal Mosley with the Magic. Who would be your pick?
I think it's Dagnall. This is the problem with the Thunder. They're unbelievable, and if you're New Orleans, you are absolutely kicking yourself because they had chance after chance at the end of Game 1 there, and they couldn't make it happen. But people don't follow the Thunder. there's no simpler way to say it. I mean, I think there's a respect throughout the league for what the Thunder have done, for what Sam Presti has built. Now it seems again with a young core that's going to grow and get better. Yep. But the Thunder just are not anywhere close to that marquee team in the middle of the country, on top of the fact that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he is unbelievable, but he doesn't have the type of personality that's going to draw you in.
Right.
I mean, let's compare it to Ja prior to all these different events off the floor. People really liked Ja. Yep. I mean, they were like, this guy's going to be the face because they – not only did they appreciate his game, they appreciate what he brought to the table. He was different, and he made watching basketball fun. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is awesome, but like when you watch, take that commercial with Chet Holmgren, the fact that that thing got greenlit so many times, I cannot believe it.
It's awful, boring.
It really is so bad.
It doesn't help him at all. You're right. It hurts him almost.
Exactly.
He lost some MVP votes, I think, because of that commercial.
Right. I mean, you're thinking, how in the world did this happen? But anyway, Dagnall's the guy. I think he deserves all the credit that comes his way because they kind of just, the Thunder do, go about their business.
That's true.
They don't look for the attention, and they have found a way to win with a young group. And when that happens and you get the narrative, it's just like the MVP in that regard. You're going to get a lot of votes, and I think he's the guy.
True or false, Nick? Willie Green is the most underrated NBA coach.
Oh, boy.
Ooh.
We have a Willie Green hater in our midst.
The word false. I'm waiting on you, though, Nick.
Wow.
I think it's false on because I don't think people understand just how good of a job Dagnall has done in OKC. But Willie Green in a market where they just don't really seem to support that team at the level they should. He has continued to find ways to make that group work when Zion's not on the floor. And any coach who can do that night after night and get the group to buy in no matter who's out there is a hell of a motivator who, more importantly, guys, has the respect of the room. I mean, I watched it for years in Chicago when Derrick Rose was getting hurt. And it was day-to-day, and then you weren't sure if he was going to play. And no matter who was out there, the players, through his 5 years, they believed in Tom Thibodeau. And we've seen the success, of course, he's had in New York. But I say that because when I watch the Zion situation unfold the last few years, it reminds me a lot of what happened with Derek in Chicago. And New Orleans has found a way, in most cases, at least in these last couple of years, to continue to put out a product that makes people believe that they can find a way to win night to night, whether he's out there or not. So I think Willie is a hell of a coach. I know how much the Golden State organization really respected him when he was out there doing his thing. But I think for me, to see the way the Thunder have improved these last couple of years, I just don't think if a casual NBA fan is like, oh, yeah, Mark Daigneault, like, let's give a scouting report on him. I mean, I don't think people know who he is.
You know, it's last thing I got for you, Nick, and you brought up his name. That's why I thought about it. You know, we've been discussing a little bit since the exit interviews, Derrick Rose, who's on that 2 year. It's a guaranteed deal with the Grizzlies. Obviously didn't play much this season and probably won't next year as sort of that, you know, that guy who's at the end of his career right now. And you've, you know, whether it's Scottie Pippen Jr. on a two-way, there's probably other answers for you that can be more effective in a backup point guard role. But all of that said, with everything that he has been through, and you listen to him now, Nick, and it's amazing in terms of the knowledge and how much it feels like he wants to pour into other guys. And so what's technically been, and we had to be real careful about the wording, it sounded like they got defensive, but, you know, a contract where you're here to sort of babysit Ja, like to be an to be an influencer, right? Bring some maturity to it. Man, it feels like he's content with that. Like he's helped Ja, his son is playing on Ja Morant's AAU team. But just how much he talks about, Nick, and you saw him focusing on the present, right, and being grateful for it and realizing, you know, it can all go away tomorrow, whether it's your health or because you made a bad decision off the floor. While he's not contributing necessarily on the court and might not next year, it feels like he's the perfect guy for a Ja Morant in terms of that responsibility. What say you?
I think it's a terrific point, because what has happened at this stage of Derek's career is on any team he's been in the last 5 years or so, but certainly on this Memphis team, he is the adult in that locker room.
Yes, sir.
And he is the guy, and I cannot stress this enough, having been in the different teams around, the teams and organizations I've been around in my career, Derek Rose, by players in the NBA, is beloved.
Yep.
Beloved. The respect is unbelievable. So to have gone through everything that he's been through injury-wise, to have gone through the times where, I mean, this was 5 or 6 years ago, but he just kind of left. He wasn't sure if he wanted to keep playing the same way in the league, because the mental toll that the injuries and all the stuff off the floor had taken on him was huge. To push through all that and to serve as that role model, and obviously the focus was going to be on Ja and Derek's relationship, of course, because of what Morant has been going through the last couple of years and put on himself. But to be that player for a young Grizzlies team, I think his role is exactly where he needs to be now. And I know, having talked to Derek, he still wants to play and he believes he can contribute. But in this spot in his career, to be able to be in Memphis where he had so much success in college and to be able to serve as that leader for this kind of group, I think it's a perfect spot for him in the moment. And I think it's a fit that made a lot of sense and will make more sense as Ja now works his way back through his own injury and tries to find his way back to the top level of the NBA, because there's only a few people who experience that kind of pressure. And guys, I lived it with him from a media standpoint, but Derrick Rose is one of those players, and it's why he has the respect that he does all across the league.
No question. Hey, man,
great stuff, Nick.
Always good. Appreciate the time.
Thank
every
you,
week,
brother.
Nick. Thanks.
As always, guys, I'll talk to you next week. Look forward to it.
Yes, sir. Hey, that is Odyssey NBA Insider Nick Friedell. Insider Call is brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure. We'll